It was good to have the choir back. It's like going on vacation and coming back home, walking in that door the first few moments. It's just nice. Glad to see everybody back. So anyway, we've been having a great study on Wednesdays on the Tabernacle in the Wilderness. And Brother Jesse has been going through the different pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, and this past Wednesday, he studied the altar of incense, the prayers of the saints, and got me thinking about it. And this morning, I got to thinking about Revelation 5:8. This is not what the study is going to be about. This is just what I was thinking about this morning. It says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book. And he opened the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So that's what made me think about this morning. And I forgot my glasses, so I can't see that well. So you guys have to bear with me. But anyway, that's what I was thinking about this morning, on the altar of incense and those prayers going up. And made me think of this morning. What's that? No, I'm good. I don't know if I can see. Let me take a look. I'll take a look. I did?
Yeah.
I did? These are work. Thanks, Nita. So anyway, the Lord always supplies whatever we need. In this case, it's glasses. So that's him. He's good like that. The subject that I wanted to choose, or was chosen for me tonight, is called the footsteps. And in following the footsteps of the flock, well, first let me go back a little bit. Let me go to the Song of Solomon, the first chapter, verse 7. Starting verse 7, it says, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." So as I was saying earlier, in following the footsteps of the flock, we've known many good shepherds. David led God's flock, Brother Copley, Brother Hill. The apostle leads God's flock during this age. Our pastor Jesse leads this particular flock. I thought about two sisters, Sister Wilson and Sister McGuire, who encouraged me on this path, and I don't think they were even trying to do that. They just did it. Sometimes the footsteps we follow don't always come from the pulpit. They may come from a casual conversation or a letter. I think that is part of what the apostle meant in Philippians 3:17 when he said, "Mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. The thing they all have in common is that they know how to get to the shepherd's tent." They are as Colossians 2:7, which says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." See, everybody is on some path, whether it's for riches, for fame, for glory, or with the health craze this year, these days, a better body. Just something. Everybody's on some path. Elijah desired Elijah's footsteps and received a double portion. You find that in 2 Kings 2:9. It reads, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elijah, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elijah wanted a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elijah did 8 miracles. Elijah did 16. So the question I would ask you is, what do you want? What is your passion, your passion? How do we know whose footsteps to follow? One way is to find out where they're going. If you read Luke 6:45, it says, A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Paul suggested, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The question is, what's your prize? What do you desire above everything? Paul's suggestion seems like a pretty good destination. What do you think? But if you're pressing for this mark that Paul showed us, or following these footsteps, know this. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, Know ye not that they which run a race in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. You see, to get where you say you want to go, you must follow the footsteps of those who have gone before you. Consider 2 paths. First path, I'll read, you'll find in Proverbs, the 1st chapter. Starting in verse 10. It says, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, Come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have one purse. That's one of the paths. A second path you'll find in Psalms 119, 133, which says, Order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. The word of God will never lead you astray. That is always, always, always going to be the proper path to follow, no matter what is said. Let us take it further and give it our best shot. You say, I go to church every Sunday. I try to follow the golden rule. My last name is, when it comes to keeping the law, I know no better Christian than myself. When it comes to zeal in the church, I'm head and shoulders above everyone else. If that's the best man can do, I'll put 1 Corinthians 1:30 up against that any day. It says, But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's a done deal. That's everything that you say you wanted to do. He's provided that for us already in Christ Jesus. Or I'd also put that next to that person who desires that next to Romans 8:8, which says, Them that are in the flesh cannot please God. No matter your strongest, best effort in the flesh, you'll never please God. It'll never work, and we all know that. Now, has anybody ever heard of a ghost leg trauma? What that is if someone has an accident, serious accident, or is in some battle, and they get their leg blown off, and they go to the hospital, and when they do wake up, they have the sensation that that leg is still there. That's called a ghost leg. And it made me think of how many times we testify to other people. And if we have no leg, why would they follow us? Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand, having your loins girt about with truth." Girt, which means to fasten on. Truth means you have some support. So if we can't walk, why should they follow us? You need to have your loins girt about with truth. You need to be able to stand. Not just profess, but stand. But there are some other attributes that come along on this journey. All of us Timotheans would want what was said of him to be said of us. In 1 Corinthians 16:10, it says, "Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do." The result can be found in Hosea 6:3, which says, "Then we shall know if we follow on to know the Lord." That equals footsteps. How do I do that, you may ask? Well, Amos 7:15 says, "And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel." Just follow the flock and go. My favorite is found in Ephesians 2:10, one that's familiar with everyone. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." He will never go contrary to his word. He will always have you walk according to his word. When you go, you must have a purpose, and God will fully equip you to do whatever he sends you to do. Don't be like Ahimaaz, who overran Cushi to reach the king, but had an incomplete message when he got there. Don't confuse desire with a message. Any one of us can go out on the streets and you'll see preachers, and sometimes you hear it on television, people talking, and they will all tell you that they have the truth. But if you listen to them, the message is either wrong or incomplete. They have confused the message with the truth. You don't want to be that way. So just because you have a desire doesn't mean that God has called you to do something. Know the word of God. That will always be your guide. And Paul even said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." That word "follow" means to pursue. It also means to persecute when sent by God. It's the same thought as when Paul was out looking for those Christians before he was Paul, he was Saul. He was after them. He was persecuting them. It's the same thought. This time you want to be persecuting Jesus. You want to run after him. The same way Saul was running after them Christians. You want to persecute. Pursue him like you really want him. So when you follow him, that's what you want to do. Then you must have resolve to finish the footsteps. There will always be a reason to stop or slow down. Matthew 8:22 says, "But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." You see, some steps in before they get started. You must know your Bible. And Matthew 13, 4 through 6, I think I'll read that. Matthew 13, it's a portion of scripture that everyone's familiar with. It says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some withered away. So it's one thing to, we come to church sometimes, but 3-4 times a week. And just coming, you want to be built up in the truth. You want to be grounded in the truth. Because sure as you're sitting there and I'm standing here, trials are going to come. And when they come, are you going to be ready for it? Or is it going to be too hot for you? The only way that you find that out is by getting in the Word of God and letting it build you up and having you ready for those times. Secondly, it says in Isaiah 55:11, everybody knows that. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, don't we want to be as Galatians 5:22 and 23, which says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Again, many tests are going to come your way. The question is, are you going to press on? And also you must be invited or called to follow the footsteps. 1 Timothy 1:9 says, who hath called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You will find some people who say, well, I decided that I was going to start walking with God. Nobody does that. God has to call you. That's the only way you start walking with God, when he calls you. And he does that according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Know this, saints, you must be single-minded. It has to be more than a job or our own desire. Let's make it even more personal. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now you may say, but Brother Webb, how about my magnificent accomplishments? I've led many to the Lord, prayed with so many to be filled. I've taught, I've preached, I. Paul would call such bragging dung. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, it was the grace of God that was with him. I couldn't be standing here, and you couldn't be sitting there without the grace of God. Peter said, we have left all. So how did Jesus answer that? Luke 18 chapter has an answer. The 29th verse, starting with the 29th verse. It says, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive a manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. Cannot outgive God. Remember the word that he says, remember that word which I sent unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Remember Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So let's take a look at that. Romans 6:13. It says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So let's compare that with Romans 7:25. It says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Saints, it's not sin to have these thoughts, to have sinful thoughts and desires. As long as you're in this flesh, you're going to have them. The problem is yielding to that. And I just read where we have a choice. You don't have to yield to sin. We are a new creation. We're new. He says he has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We're not the same as we used to be. We're brand new. We don't have to do the things that we used to do, the things that we really hate now and are sad about. So we do have that choice. So why the Apostle Paul and not someone else? Well, for this period of time, we'll take two main reasons. Ecclesiastes 12:12 tells us, of making many books, there is no end. Everyone has an opinion. And in Romans 11:13, the Apostle Paul identifies himself as the apostle for this age. My question to you is, whose steps are you likely to follow to get to where you say you want to go? Philippians 3:5 and 6. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. And I want to read about Saul. This is Saul. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, this is Philippians 3:4. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. See, at that time, Saul considered himself the man. He was the man. That was until he ran into Jesus Christ. That changed everything. My question to you would be, what made you change? What made you stop going after the things that you were going after as Saul was running after his things? What happened to you? Many have followed these footsteps before. Abraham, David, Paul, Hill, Brother Hill, and now you and me. Here is some scriptural advice. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding." Mark 11:25 says, "Have faith in God." Faith. And we know how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And who is the author of faith? Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. So that would be my advice to you. So where do these steps lead? You know, Paul already spoke of them. In Philippians 3:14, he says, "I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So you know, love has to be on this journey. I mean, that's the whole reason for it. You remember, "For God so loved the world, love prompted him to do it." It's always been about love. Without it, you're not going anywhere. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Says this, "Follow after charity." That word charity means love. And where do these footsteps lead? Another familiar portion of scripture. Revelation 19:7-9. This is where these steps will lead you. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." The Bible says, "The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In a few minutes, we are going to come to the Good Shepherd. He tells us to ask, to seek, and knock. That is to say, ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. He also mentions that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Now, if maybe you don't have anything pressing you at this moment, I can't believe it, but maybe you don't. I think everybody here is going through something. But if you're not, there's another portion of scripture. It's in 107, Psalm 107:31. He says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Do you have anything to be thankful for? Amen. Who doesn't? So there's plenty of things to rejoice in. So I'd say, God bless you, saints. Let us run to win as we walk through this life. And that's all I have for you today.